Bob Pittman, good morning to you. What was your role?
I was a wireless operator, actually.
You were Royal Navy, weren't you?
In the Royal Navy, yes.
Yeah. So what was the role of the wireless operator? What was the game?
We actually were in contact. We used to get all our information from head office. And when we operated from Fremantle, we actually got it from Perth. The call sign from Perth was VIX0. And they broadcast all the time. And we would tune in at night, and we would get what they called the broadcasts, and that would be to all boats at sea.
Hmm. Now, these days, they have all sorts of sophisticated equipment satellites and all the rest of it. But in your day, I would imagine it was a bit more basic, was it?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And, of course, we used Morse code then. I don't think they use that now, CSRT, as they call it. Yes, it's very interesting. We had a huge transmitter that occupied the whole back, the bulkhead of our office. But at the end of the war, we only had a thing about the size of a cooker.
They got that small quickly.
They got that small. Yeah, it was so incredible. Yeah, and the other became obsolete. Yeah.
So, you know, for our broadcasting, for instance, we have a huge aerial. Mm. What did you do by way of an aerial? Did you have to, every time you wanted to broadcast, did you have to leap out and string up a piece of wire or something?
Well, our area actually went from forward to aft. It took right over the top of the boat. It was like a cable.
Yeah.
And we would just tell the bridge that we were going to transmit and make sure that nobody touched it. then we would transmit away. We'd just hook it, and that was it, really.
Yeah. Now, you were based in Fremantle mainly, weren't
you? That's right, yes.
And you came to Albany occasionally?
Occasionally, yes. We would come here and bunker occasionally. And when we did, we always fraternized with the U.S. Navy because we had a lot in common, of course, being submariners. Mm. We always felt we were a special breed, and we mixed together quite freely.
Can you describe the submariner port of the day when you'd come? What was it? Yeah, what was it like?
Predominantly it was Fremantle in Australia. Oh. It was Fremantle. We were in other ports, of course, when we were in India, Ceylon, these places. In Fremantle, it was like coming home. It was English speaking, English ways, and the people there were quite, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what really induced me to come back to live here.
Yeah. When you talk to some of the folks around town who were around in that era, they will tell you things like they would billet local submariners, and they would be with them for maybe a couple of weeks or so, and then all of a sudden they'd get up the next morning and there'd be an empty bed, and maybe there'd be a tub of ice cream or some steak or something left by way of thank you, but they couldn't actually say they were going or where they were going or what they were doing.
All that was it was sort of hush-hush, really.
Yeah.
But what you say is perfectly true. And the remarkable thing, too, is in Fremantle itself, there was a huge notice board. And on the notice board were the names of people, their home addresses, their phone numbers. And it was sort of an open goal to all of us fellows in the boats to phone them. And we had weekends with them. And this is right into the country as well as in the city and places. Most generous. I think one of the most significant things that really remained with me is when we came back in from patrol, we were all pretty harassed by then, you know. In Gage Roads, we would be met by a lighter, a small boat, pardon me, and they would transfer a can of milk and a case of apples to the boat. Now, this was just something else, and we never forgot it.
Yeah.
It was sort of a greeting. Welcome, you know?
Yeah.
It was most incredible.
Our guest is Bob Pittman. He was a wireless operator during World War II on H-28 and the Thorough. Yeah. So when you eat an apple these days, does it still take you back?
Absolutely. Often, especially if it's a Granny Smith, because that's the ones we used to get. But the very first time we met this, we were phased. We didn't realize it, but it was a common habit then. So every time we came in from patrol, There would be the lighter. There would be the can of milk. There would be the case of apples.
Now, operationally, any close calls? What were you involved in?
Well, we worked around the islands, Celebes, Borneo, Andaman, Nicobar Islands, pardon me, Straits of Malacca, these places. And at times, of course, we would be detected, and it was always there was always tension. I think the worst time we were off the South China Sea, and we were actually harassed for about 3 days and nights. And of course, in those days, you had to surface to get your air and charge your batteries and get your engines running. So when we would try and surface at night, pardon me, the lookouts would be up, and sure enough, we'd see the boats coming in for us. We'd have to dive again, and it was a sort of thing all through the night like this. But we had to do it to get the fresh air through, get the batteries charged, etc. And those 3 days were especially as it was dragging on, it became a little bit tough for us, you know.
Some of the submariners and the commanders of the submarines are known for being very, very wily. So, and very cunning and clever. And,
oh, yes, yes.
So what were some of the techniques that you used to to solve these problems where the ships would try and keep you down for as long as possible?
Well, what would happen, you see, is below you can hear the engines of the boats on top, the ships on top that are trying to nail you. You can hear their engines.
And throbbing away.
Oh, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. And when they go to drop their depth charges, they have to rev up. Otherwise, they blow their tail off, you see. Yeah. So we would hear this. So you would hear boom, 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 boom. Yeah. You knew they were coming into attack.
Yeah.
That was when the captain then, the skipper, he would make his move. So he would either go port or starboard faster, deeper, all the time. Yeah. So it was cat and mouse all the time. This is the things that would happen. Yes.
Now, the sad side of all this is that there are, and this is how the submariners still sort of think of it, there are a total of 374 officers and 3,131 men still on patrol, didn't come back to Albany, didn't make it. It's a high number, isn't it? Yeah. Now, you're
one in four, they reckon, of our boats.
Didn't
we lost
it.
One in four. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so Sunday is a chance to remember this and to reflect on it. Yeah. What? Because you work as a chaplain these days.
Yes.
So what do you? How do you explain it to people today? Who, you know? I mean, I wasn't around in those days, and I only have a link with it through people like you.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
We don't know them. We do, of course. But the generation growing up never knew them. However, their exploits, their commitment, their sacrifice should never, ever be forgotten.
Yeah.
And I think it's right and it's just that we acknowledge this. And I think that, not to be morbid, I don't mean be morbid, but in a sense of remembering and being thankful, and with a sense of gratitude that the freedom and the lifestyle we enjoy, these men and women, they gave their lives for.